Well, hey, listen, we're going to get right into the message. For what time I got left, I just want to minister to you for, you know, just something that's on my heart and something that I have. A few weeks ago, I was on my way to Cracker Barrel over by 69 by Gas City. And I was headed that way. I had to go at 6 in the morning because my day was full. And I had to go early in the morning to go over to Cracker Barrel to get some of those chattering teeth. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the wind-up teeth. You know, I had to go get some of those because that's what I mounted on top of the trophy for the lip sync battle. All right. So in light of that, I was driving over there. And when I was driving over there, I was thinking, you know, what's so special about Christmas? What's so great about it? You know, and I was just honestly, I was listening to some worship music, just thinking about it. And I thought, you know what? I don't know if people could answer it. If you was to be asked, what's so great about Christmas? Could you answer it? Do you have more than Jesus came to the earth or Jesus' birthday? Do you have anything more than that? You know, don't raise your hands, you know, or anything. But I believe it with all my heart. As I was driving over there, man, I felt in my heart, I felt like, you know what? I should really talk about that. I should talk about why Christmas is so special and what matters. So here's kind of the series slide, if you want to call it. Here's what it looks like. What's so great about Christmas? How many of you believe Christmas is great? How many of you love Christmas? You know what? I love Christmas, but let me tell you when I loved it the most. I know some of you are like, I think we should have a white Christmas. Well, here's my prayer for y'all. When I was in Florida, I cooked out on the grill for Christmas. So my goal for Christmas is to cook out on the grill. How many know there's no cooking out on the grill here in Indiana right now? So we're going to talk about this. What is so great about Christmas? Now, whenever it comes to this, one word immediately came to my mind as I was driving. One word immediately came to my mind as I was driving. And believe it or not, it wasn't presents. It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't birthday. It was much bigger than that, actually. Because in my world, whenever I think about Christmas, I'm here to tell you there is some profound things about Christmas that you've probably never thought of before, okay? So I'm going to give one to you just real quick here. I believe with all my heart, when it comes to Christmas, it is all about this right here. Ready? Simplify. Hoorah! Any Marines here? Yeah, all right, a few. How many of you know what this means? Don't answer. What language is this? Anybody know? Latin. It is Latin. All right. And here's where you've seen it the most. You've seen it right here, right? United States Marines, right? Simplify. Anybody know what this translates to? Come on. If you're a Marine, you know. Always faithful. Here it is. Always faithful. So I was thinking about it. How many of you know God is simplify? Say, is he a Marine? He's for the Marines. Praise God. For the Marines, always. But listen, here's the truth. Our God that we serve is absolutely simplify. Some of you are like, okay, let me translate that. He's always faithful. He is absolutely 100% always faithful. Always faithful. That is the first word that came to my mind as I'm driving down the road thinking about what is so great about Christmas. What is so great about Christmas is the fact that it proves that our God is faithful. Say, let me see it, Pastor Charlie. Here it is. You ready? What is the first promise of Jesus coming to the earth and rescuing humanity? In other words, Christmas. What is the first verse in the Bible that has specifically in it talking about Christmas? Well, check this out. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 says this. I will put enmity. This is God speaking to Satan. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed, Satan's seed, and her seed. Everybody see that? That is capitalized. Do you know what that means? It is a proper noun in the sentence. A proper noun is a name of someone, something, all right? So in this case, that word seed there is specifically talking about Jesus coming to the earth. You say, so where is the first mention of Christmas in the Bible? Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It talks about the seed of God coming to the earth in rescuing humanity. Now, Pastor Charlie, isn't this about God's faithfulness? Oh, yeah, it is. Check this out. It would take 4,000 years before God would bring that promise all the way to pass. 4,000 years. 4,000 years. And I'll be honest, there were probably many, many over that 4,000 year period that came and didn't believe that God was being true. They actually thought that God was lying, that God said he would send a savior. She would be born of a virgin. She would actually have a child being a virgin. All those things. They thought that the scriptures were absolutely a lie. But after 4,000 years, guess what? Jesus came to the earth, proving once and for all that in all things, God is absolutely 100% simplify. God is absolutely 100% always what? He's faithful. Do you know that you serve a faithful God today? Do you know that you serve a faithful God? That he is always faithful. And here today, I'm going to give you some examples or ways that we can see in the Word that God is absolutely faithful. And not only that, I'm going to show you what I believe with all my heart it should bring into your life. Because it's one thing to say God is faithful. It's another for how it impacts your life. So here's the deal. When God is faithful and we know God is faithful, here's what we should know. That it should absolutely bring comfort into your life. How many of you know when things are faithful, there is a comfort there? Y'all believe that? How many of you know when you walked out this morning and started your car, if it started, you were like, thank God for the faithfulness of my car. Am I right? How many of you know things don't go well when your car is not faithful? Then you got to call Mark and he has to fix your car and make it faithful again. But here's the truth. When things are faithful, something happens on the inside of you. When things are faithful, there's a comfort that comes on the inside of you. Whenever you went to bed last night and your heater was working, there was a faithfulness that that heater was providing and you were comforted. Amen? Amen? I was thinking about my discomfort. Last year at this time, we were coming back from the Bahamas. Yeah. Indiana is faithful about snow and cold about this time of year, right? Faithful. It brings a certain comfort level. It really, really, really does. See, check this out. This is what the Bible says about God's faithfulness. It says, your mercies, O Lord, is in the heavens, and your what? Faithfulness, what does it do? Reaches to the, how high does God's faithfulness go? I tell you what, it goes to the clouds. But here's the principle that I want you to see in that. It is everywhere. It is absolutely everywhere. There's not a place that you can go on this planet or in heaven above that God's faithfulness is not being applied. I think about it this way. I think about hearing a story about Lester Summerall. He was over in a mission field. He was over in China, I believe it was. And a guy got caught basically like smuggling Bibles. And they thought, you know, that how many of you know that's a bad thing in China? Kind of like in America sometimes. But anyway, in China, you know. All right, so they're in China and They get caught, and the guy has a gun to his back, and he asked the Lord at that point. He said, Lord, am I going to die here in China as a missionary? And the Lord just responded to his heart and said, you're not going to die here. So he turned around and looked, and he faced the guy, and he said, you know what? You're not going to kill me. How many of you know God's faithfulness at that point is a big deal? Am I right? Yeah, you better believe it. God's faithfulness is what you're after. Because by him being faithful, you can have a lot of comfort in what he says. If he says he's going to do something, you can have comfort in what he says. See, check this out. Look at Psalms 119. It says this. Your faithfulness endures to how long? All generations. To all generations. In other words, God's faithfulness is not just for me. It's for my children and all that are afar off. Listen, to all generations. There's not a generation to come that God's faithfulness will not be applied. Now look at the next part of this verse. And you establish the earth, and it what? It abides. According to God's faithfulness, the earth abides. Now I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but think about it this way. How many of you know I can walk on water? As long as it's froze. Can I get a witness in here? You can too, come on. Yeah, how many of you know what degree water turns to ice? Come on, help me out. 32 degrees. How many of you know no matter where you're at on the planet, that 32 degrees, that baby's freezing over, right? All right? How many of you know if you jump off of a building, gravity will take over? You believe that? Believe that. How many of you know if you heat up water to 200, what is it? 12 degrees, what happens? It boils. Do you know, get this, who do you think established those laws in the earth? God did. So as long as I can walk on water, as long as I can boil water, as long as I can jump off a building and gravity takes over, it tells me that God is still faithful. Say, hey, Pastor Charlie, how do you get there? Here's how I get there. The Bible says that all things are upheld by the word of his power. In other words, he spoke those laws into existence on this planet. And when he spoke them, he set them, and he set them in place. And his faithfulness to those laws are what keep those laws established in the earth. So as long as gravity works, as long as water freezes, as long as water boils, your God is absolutely faithful to you in your life. Absolutely. And I'm so glad that when you jump on a plane that God doesn't like change the law of lift. Can I get a witness in here? There's comfort in the law of lift when you're flying. Come on, am I right? Absolutely. See, the reality is this, that even the natural laws of this earth prove God's faithfulness to us. All we've got to do is look around. You can take a farmer and he puts a seed in the ground and it produces a stalk corn. You know, he put a corn seed in and it didn't produce apples or oranges or anything like that. It produced corn. The fact that it produced the seed that it was put in, or I'm sorry, the seed that was put in the ground produces what it was. I'm jacking that all up. You know what I'm saying. Proves God's faithfulness to us. Proves God's faithfulness. And there's great comfort in that. Great comfort in that. See, look at Lamentations. It says this. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Right? Great is your faithfulness. They are new what? Every morning. You know, you cannot exhaust God's faithfulness over your life. Even when you're not faithful, he is faithful. Even when you don't know what you were supposed to, God is faithful. You know, God is faithful even when you don't even think about him. He is still faithful to you. He's still faithful to you. I think about the Bible says, I believe it's Matthew chapter 6, where God says, don't even worry about the things that you need. Don't even worry about that because God is faithful to you. God is faithful to the birds and he supplies, right? So he is faithful to you. Absolutely. I remember one time I was in Bible college and just got out of the military, didn't have a lot of money for clothes. I'd go to Bible college and I didn't have any nice clothes. You know, I was working in a body shop at that time, so I'd beat up blue jeans and t-shirts. Y'all know what I'm saying? Which I happen to wear all the time still. But anyway, all right. But that's my wardrobe. All right. But no, I was wearing that, and it really bothered me to go to Bible college like that because I felt like how many of y'all know what I'm saying? I can stop right there. You get what I'm saying. And it really bothered me. And I get there. I'm there maybe a month or so, and this lady comes in. She's got three or four completely full trash bags. And it was of clothes. Clothes, get this, not cheap clothes. These were clothes. They had shut down a store called Structure. Now, how many of y'all know what Structure is? It's a clothing line. And they had shut that place down in Indy. And the lady who apparently was connected to the people who owned it knew that I needed clothes, apparently. And I didn't tell her. She just, maybe I looked bad. I don't know. Whatever. She grabbed 3 to 4 trash bags full of my size clothes and brought them all. And I had in one day, I had a full wardrobe. There you go. Now you say, what was that? That was God's faithfulness. I never even prayed for it. I never even asked for it. It was God's favor and God's faithfulness. And apparently God was like, you look bad. Put some clothes on. Y'all hear what I'm saying? But see, even when we're not necessarily praying or believing or maybe it's not listen, God is still faithful. Amen? You should claim God's faithfulness over your life. And there is great comfort in your life when you know God is faithful. You know as well as I do that whenever faithfulness is on the line, you don't have any comfort. You go out, you don't know if your battery's good or not until it gets cold. You know what I'm saying? There's not comfort in that car, right? There's not comfort in a relationship when there isn't faithfulness being applied. Amen? That's true. How many of you know our God is faithful? Therefore, we should have great comfort in Him being in charge. Amen? All right, so listen to this. Not only should it bring comfort, it should bring this word right here. God's faithfulness brings confidence. How many of you know it'll bring confidence in your life? When you know God is faithful to you, it will absolutely bring a confidence that you never had before. Think about it this way. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says this. God is what? Yeah, He is. Reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to His what? Promise. And He can be what? Come on, He can be depended on. I know a lot of people have struggled trusting God because everyone in their life lets them down. I'm here to tell you, people may let you down, but your God will never let you down. Your God will absolutely do what He said He would do. By Him, you were called into companionship and participation with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at this. I love this verse. I memorized this one in Bible college. God is not a what? A man that He should lie. Watch this. Nor the Son of Man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Notice that. That's talking about God the Father and Jesus the Son. Has He said, and will He not do? Has He said? Will He not do? Do you know there are over 3,000 promises in your Bible? 3,000. Over 3,000 promises. And if God said it, settles it, I believe it. Let me say that again because I want you to hear it in that order. If God says it, that settles it. I believe it. God says it, that settles it. I believe it. Notice what I didn't say. God said it, I believe it. That settles it. No, if God said it, that settles the matter. Then it's my responsibility to now believe Him and have confidence in what He did say. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? If He said it, I'm going with it, man. If He tells Peter, walk on the water, Peter better walk on the water, right? Whatever God says, you can take that promise to the bank that God is faithful to His word. He can be trusted. He is reliable. You can comfort yourself with that. And listen, you can have confidence in everything that God says. Listen to this. 1 John 1:9 says this. If we confess our what? Sins. He is faithful and what? What is God? He is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. Let me ask you a question this morning. Now, I did a series a couple of months ago about this. Are you unrighteous? Are you righteous? Absolutely, you have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. You've been made righteous. You've been made righteous. Should that give you a certain confidence in God? Come on, absolutely. The Bible says we can come boldly before the throne of grace, right? Come boldly. See, knowing He is faithful gives me confidence. Gives me confidence knowing that He paid for my sins. He paid for my unrighteousness. Now I've been made righteous by His blood, nothing I did, but what I believed made me righteous. And you know what? Now I have confidence. I have absolute confidence in God. I know that He is for me in everything that I do. How many of you believe that? Everybody say that. Just just to say it. Say, God is for me. Do you say that? Man, I say that all the time. I say it to myself. I say it no matter what I'm doing, no matter where I'm at. I know that God is for me. How many of you know He's for you too? Mm-hmm, absolutely. See, check this out. I believe that God also wants to give you this one. Look at this. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the what? Guard you from the evil one. So listen, I have confidence in God's provision for my life, His sacrifice, His atoning work. I have confidence that God will protect me. I don't know about you, but every once in a while I'll read about somebody my age or even younger dying. And you think, man, that could be me, you know? Or maybe, you know, you're like myself and you got kids. I got one, Michael lives here, but Whitney lives in Kansas. You know, you hear about a child dying or something. What do you do with that? What do you do with that thought process, whether it's about you or whether it's about your kids? What do you do with that? I'll tell you what you do. You take the promise of God and you have confidence in that promise. You believe what he said about you and your family. So I have confidence that this verse applies to me and my family's life. Say, what's it say? But the Lord is what? Faithful. Absolutely. What? Who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. That God will protect me. I love what the psalmist said. He said this, though 1,000 may die at my left and 1,000 at my right, it shall not come nigh unto me, shall not come close to me. See, I believe that. That's why I should always have 2,000 people around me and I should stand in the center. But anyway, how many know that's not what it's saying? It's figurative speech, and it's saying, though some things may happen to some people and some things may happen to other people, the truth of the matter is, if I remain believing in God and trusting in his word and having confidence in the promise of God, then I can believe that he is going to do this very thing. He is going to protect me from the evil one. Come on, amen? I believe that, man. That, listen, I don't take medicine. My family took medicine. They took medicine. The devil drove them crazy. So crazy they had to take medicine. But here's the theory that I have. I'm going to make up for it in my lifetime because the devil needs to take medicine to deal with me. I'm going to drive the devil crazy. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm not crazy. He's going crazy. Because as long as there's breath in this body, I'm going to resist the evil one. I'm going to tell people about the freedom and the liberty that Jesus has. And I'm going to see people free all their lives. Amen? I believe that. I believe that for sure. See, God provides us protection. Look at this verse. This is 1 Corinthians 10. And it's in the Amplified. So it's kind of wordy. But I think it's worth it whenever we read a couple verses into it. Look at this. It's kind of wordy, but follow me. For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold of you that it is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience, and such as man can bear. In other words, there's no temptation that's ever came into your life that you couldn't resist with God's help. Say, but Pastor Charlie, I didn't resist always. I know, that's why he got in a mess. So look at this, watch this. But God is God is faithful. God is faithful, watch this. Look at what it says. To his word and his compassionate nature. God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature. God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature. God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature. I love that because it says something about who he is. See, I know a lot of times we think that God is the God who is trying to get us, trying to see us, trying to make sure if we messed up, he's going to stomp us down. I've used this illustration for years. How many of you ever go to that God awful place, I'll pray for you, Chuck E. Cheese? Chuck E. Cheese, you know, where you spend $50 to get a $2 prize and feel good about it when you leave. All right? Okay, so listen. Chuck E. Cheese, they have this game called Whack-A-Mole. Anybody ever played that? You got the little head things that pop up and you take the club and you whack them? Whack-A-Mole? All right, listen. A lot of people think that that's how God is. He just can't wait for you to pop your head up. Pow! He just wants to squish your head. Can I tell you that is not the God that you and I serve? He is not against you. He is for you this morning, praise God. So don't think he is out there trying to get you and trying to get you to mess up and trying to get you to fail and try to prove how unworthy you are. The truth of the matter is he's trying to qualify you. He's trying to get you to believe for bigger and better. He's trying to get you to trust in his word. He's trying to get you to have confidence in the words that he has spoken over your life. It's the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's the enemy who comes to try and get you to doubt the word of God. It's the enemy. Remember, even when Jesus was tempted, it was Satan who said, and it's now get this, y'all. Jesus. How many of you know who Jesus is? Okay, 5, 12, 12. Maybe we can get 100. Everybody know who Jesus is? All right, now watch. Jesus, who created all things, the Bible says, and upholds all things according to his power. Jesus was there when he made Satan. All the angels were created by God. Jesus was there. How many of y'all know that? Okay, I'm working it. I feel like I'm plowing by myself, but I'm getting there. But listen to this. Satan, who knew Jesus was there and knew who Jesus was, the very fact that he showed up to Jesus to tempt him shows us that he knew who Jesus was. Do y'all believe that? Listen to what he says to Jesus. If you're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God. If I would have been Jesus, Charlie Riley Amplified, if I wasn't Jesus, why did you come? If I was Bob, why did you know? Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? You know the enemy knew exactly who Jesus was. But here's the reality. The reason he came and said, if you be, is because he's always getting you to doubt what God says and who God says you are. That's what he does. He's always there to plant the seed of doubt in you. See, here's the truth. The truth is, in this, we should find great comfort and great confidence that our God is absolutely faithful. Absolutely faithful. Now, here's the deal. I believe that God gives us confidence and God gives us comfort in his faithfulness. Here's the last thing I believe he gives us. He gives us absolute hope in every circumstance. As long as ice freezes, there's hope. Come on, ice freezes. That didn't make no sense. As long as water freezes, praise God. Well, I guess ice could freeze harder. I don't know. You get what, it's a fourth service. I don't know what I'm talking about. But here's the reality. The reality is, as long as you can jump in the air and come down, God's faithfulness is on display, right? God's faithfulness. See, that should bring hope because there is nothing outside of the realm of God in your life that he can't touch with his hope. I think about this song. This song is my absolute favorite Christmas song. Matter of fact, there isn't even a second one even close. This is my favorite Christmas song right here. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knee. Okay, I'm done. But, hey, listen, here's how it starts, though. The thrill of hope. And then they got this word yonder. You know that's like a Northern Kentucky term, right? How did that word find its way into a Christmas carol? I have no idea. People in Kentucky are happy, though. But here's what it says. I love this. A thrill of hope. I mean, that's huge. See, whenever I think of Christmas, to me, it's all about God's faithfulness. Because it's God's faithfulness on display that brought him here 2,000 years ago. But check this out. A thrill of hope. A thrill of hope. See, for 4,000 years, people thought on this planet that the only way they would ever approach God is through sacrifice. That's the only way it was ever going to happen, through sacrifice, until Jesus came. Jesus came and changed the whole scene. Jesus came and changed everything. And I'm here to tell you, that should give us all hope, because there isn't nothing outside of the realm of God's faithfulness. If you'll believe him, you'll comfort yourself with the words that he gives us. If you'll take and believe his words and have confidence in them, have confidence and just know that he will do exactly what he said he would do, then that means there isn't nothing in your life that God's hope can't touch. He can touch every aspect of your life. If your body is sick, he can heal you. If your kids are crazy, heal them. Right? If you live with your in-laws, well, you need prayer. But how many of y'all hear what I'm saying, though? It's all about hope. So everybody say this. Say, I thank God that he is faithful to me in Jesus' name. You believe that? Give the Lord a big clap. Praise God.